morning. Hello. Welcome. We are live, Eagle Mountain International Church, Faith Foundations. My name is Greg Stevens. I am hitting today for Pastor Terry, and we have an interesting, exciting, wonderful, can't wait week. Amen. It's here. And are any of you in for Ministers Conference? Anybody here? There and there. And welcome. Welcome. Thank you. Where from? Nashville, Tennessee. Been there many times. Where? Tulsa. Oh, I knew that. Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they're starting to come in, and this place will be jam-packed with ministers. Listen, it's one of my favorite times, and the reason why is when we were pastors in California, this is the one thing we would, sometimes it was the only thing that year, the one thing we would come to set the course, not just for me, but for our church for the year. I'm serious. And so it's very vital time. There was one time I was setting right about where that guy right there, right about where you're sitting. I was sitting right about there, and I had decided I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was quitting the ministry. I was done. I do not need this. God had called me to a bunch of misfit toys. And no, I'm serious. I was having a full-blown pity thing going on. I was quitting. None of you guys have ever felt like that? I'm done. I can go sell insurance. I can do anything is better than this, right? And I was sitting about right where you were, and someone got up here and began to speak about something, and all of a sudden, I came alive. Something charged in me. We went back, and everything turned around, and I'm standing here today as a result of being at Ministers Conference. At KCM. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so let's just, I feel a tug in my spirit. So you're sitting on cloth chairs. Remember when Paul, the cloth was taken from Paul and demons departed, people were healed, different things happened, right? Let's pray right now for the people that are coming in here because some of these guys and gals need a word. Somebody needs a breakthrough. Somebody needs one word that'll forever change the course of destiny of their ministry. You're sitting on chairs, right? Lay your hands on the chairs around you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name that's named in heaven and earth, I pray over these chairs that are going to hold ministers of the Most High Gospel. I pray for pastors and evangelists. Father, I pray for an anointing from this place to just jump all over, hallelujah, to refire them, to give them a word, to change the course of their ministry, to change the course of generations in their city. Father, I pray now for them to go back to their city, to go back to their village, to go back to their town, to go back to the country that they're coming from with a new, fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's get our faith together on this. A new anointing in Jesus' mighty name. Father, if there's another Greg out there that's ready to quit, minister to him this week. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, praise him real quick. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you hear us when we pray. I thank you even now the angels of the Most High are in this place. Ministering spirits called into the heirs of salvation. And that the moment they drive on this campus, it'll begin to turn. Ideas, that's it. Ideas to grow. Ideas to minister. Divine appointments between pastors in Jesus' mighty name. You agree with me? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get going. Well, I just prayed. So, Father, we add the reading of your word to that as well. That we'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Okay, here we go. Of all the covenants of Abraham and Moses and David, ones that I've mentioned before, they all begin to center around one group of people and one nation, to be more accurate, one person of one nation. And all the covenants will consummate in one new covenant at the cross with the promised seed of the other covenants, and he is the Messiah, and we know his name is Jesus, right? I got to studying something this week. In Hebrew, you have Usually it's a group of three letters that becomes a root word. And depending upon where you put the punctuation and everything determines what that word then becomes, right? Or what that verse becomes. And if you put it on the verb or if you put it on the noun, I'm not trying to get too deep here on this, it changes things. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, when we read that, the just shall live by faith, but in the King James it says, the just shall live by his faith. I went back and I reread it in the Hebrew. And when I did, the thing came alive to me. I saw something that I had missed before in the translations that I've seen. So I'm going to talk to you about this new covenant personified and us living by our faith. Here's the way it should say. The just, by faith, will live. That's the way it should say. With a comma there. It should say, the just by faith, comma, will live. Now I understand when Jesus said, oh man, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So I was justified by Jesus Christ. Right? By faith. And faith rests on love. Faith without works is dead. We know that. But faith worketh by what? Love. So love personified. When I put faith in that love, I was justified. The just by faith will live abundantly. Once you get that revelation, see, we've got people still trying to be justified. And you already are. Now I've got to turn that thing around and begin to live abundantly. And once that faith gets in there, that's when that begins to happen. Let's take a break right here. Let me show you a clip from Brother Copeland. I'll come back to explain it. Watch this.
Yeah, Gloria said that faith gave the substance of the things. In the dream world, it's still in the form of hope. Then faith became the substance. It's the faith that materialized. Can you see that? Well, keep meditating on it. You will. Amen. Now then, acting on the word. James chapter 1, when you act on the word is when faith actually thank you, Lord. When faith begins to grow, Satan's dominion begins to wane and circumstances begin to yield and no longer look so overpowering. See, faith, as it begins to grow, begins to change your attitude and outlook about things. You just get stronger. You get stronger in your thinking. And now, when I act on the word, look at what he said, James said, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself, goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. He immediately forgets what he saw. But whoso looketh into, now listen to this, remember we talked about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death, and the law of works, and the law of faith. These are spiritual laws, and when they're put to work, they work. Amen. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, the perfect law of victory, hallelujah, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds.
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Now, put that with the just by faith, because you're justified by faith. The just by faith live. Once I'm in the covenant, this was written by covenant guys. Once I'm in this covenant, my new covenant purchased by his blood, now I live in that. If I try to live in a different covenant, it won't work. It's the easiest thing in the world now to be healed. Easiest thing in the world to prosper. Easiest thing in the world. See it? Because I'm justified by faith. Now my faith, I'm keeping that faith in what he did, what he is, who he is, where I'm at, I live. Paul talked about it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Oh, man. I'm telling you, get ready. This is a run day.
Come on now.
I wore some special run shoes today because I ran around my office. I ran around the entire office down there. I was writing on the window because the download was coming so quickly. I just took my marker out and I was just writing on the window. Dry erase marker, it comes off. And one of the other pastors walks by and I hear out loud, "Oh Lord, he's writing on the window again." So I'm going to talk to you about what I wrote down. Are you okay? Yeah. Romans chapter 15. Here's the deal. The new covenant is personified in one person. In Romans 15 says this: "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He is the minister of the covenant for the truth of God." Okay. Passion Translation says it this way. Let me show you that. "I am convinced that Jesus, the Messiah, was sent as a servant to the Jewish people to fulfill the promises God made to our ancestors and to prove God's faithfulness." He's the one sent to reconcile this whole thing. Malachi speaks of him as the messenger of a covenant. Mark teaches us very plainly that by the time of Jesus' arrival, the covenants had been so twisted by tradition that the covenant offering that was ministering among them, they either refused to see it, receive him, or they couldn't receive him. Let me give you an example of it. Go ahead. I'm going to go to Galatians 3 here in just a second, but let's get ready for Mark chapter 7. Is that all right? All of Jesus' ministry was in fulfillment of Scripture or in fulfillment of those covenants. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." So what he's doing is fulfilling everything. What's sad to me, guys, is after 3+ years of teaching and miracles, the leadership that was responsible to keep the word and to watch for the Messiah missed him. Jesus even said that. They had missed their day of visitation. I don't want to miss my day of visitation. How did that happen, guys? How did it happen? Can it happen today? Yeah, can. Let me show you why. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. It's right here on the screen. "What has happened to you, Galatians, to be acting so foolishly? You must have been under some evil spell." That's pretty strong. "Didn't God open your eyes to see the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion? Wasn't he revealed to you as the crucified one? Didn't you see this? Didn't I show you this? Don't you know this?" Verse 13. "Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place." Honey, you're not under a curse if you're in Christ Jesus, because you're justified by faith in him, by love. You're not under a curse. Generational, whatever. Pick one. Now look at this. "Everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed." Verse 14, "Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place and in so doing dissolved the curse from our lives." There's a run place right there. Dissolve the curse in my life. So that all the, look at this. Because the curse is dissolved, look at this. "So that all the blessings of Abraham Come on. can be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in Him. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
Do you pray in the Spirit?
Yes.
There's your testimony. You are justified by faith.
Amen.
There it is. That's really simple. Yes, it's really simple. Can be poured out. King James Version says might be poured out upon the Gentiles. Our covenant is a blessing covenant. The blessing of Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. But there's a might on that. The might come upon. So what stops it? A lack of spiritual perception, trying to live in a covenant that requires no faith. When ours requires faith. The new covenant requires faith to be justified. Let me just help you something. The law required no faith. It was just strict adherence. Strict obedience, no faith. It requires faith. Abraham became justified by faith. I read you that in Habakkuk from the original Hebrew. The just by faith shall live. My God. So, what happened? Twisting the word. Twisting concepts and covenant concepts into man-made traditions. That's what happened. Mark 7 is the perfect example. You ready? You there? Krista, I forgot to... What in my New King James? I forgot to say what... I didn't write it down what translation I gave you. Here's the downloaded revelation. You ready? Telling you what. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. We're not in Jerusalem here. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Oh, my. Anybody ever had, any of you ever had anybody find fault with you? Yeah. People who are always pointing out what's wrong in you or what's wrong in somebody else don't know who they are. If you know who you are, you don't need to point anything. Okay, let me go back to this. Now, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, listen, that's a good thing. That's going to save them in years to come. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. Don't, Pastor Greg said we don't have to wash our hands. No, I'm not saying that. Wash your hands, please. But don't get religious about it. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they've received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers, copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes, verse 5, ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? That's Jesus. That's sweet little Jesus saying that. It must have caught him in a bad day. Hadn't had his coffee that morning or something. Something. I mean, what was that about? This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine. Now, here's the deal. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So you've taken a commandment of men, which is a good thing. In this case, wash your hands. Come on. My mother was notorious for me washing my hands. Notorious for it. She was a pathologist, worked in the lab all the time. When mom came home, we all took a bath, whether we needed it or not. And she's still a clean freak. Anything hit the floor, it's up. Don't leave anything sitting out. It's gone. I literally lost more homework because of her throwing things out. And I'd tell the teacher, they wouldn't believe me. I'd be like, oh, you don't know my mother, I'm telling you. Now that that session of therapy is over. But you teach this doctrine, you teach this as this this man's commandment deal as though it's doctrine of God, as though it's written in here. It can come from here, but you've added to it so much. We say one word from God, right? We'll take one word from God and make a paragraph out of it. Oh my. Okay, so for laying aside the commandment of God, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of washing the pitchers and cups and many other things, such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. There's where you get messed up. You literally will have a commandment of God and you'll reject that to keep a tradition. And we got them. I remember years ago as a young person, I was on a church ski trip. So we're all riding on a bus to Colorado. And this was a thing that the church did it every year, and all these people are in there. And so you got to have something to do on the bus. So the card games of all card games on the bus, board games were tough because, you know, but card games. And in particular, there was a card game called Rook. You ever heard of it? And man, it was brutal. You'd watch the adults in the front of the bus, the kids in the back of the bus, and they're playing this game. Well, I don't know how it happened. Somebody broke out a deck of regular playing cards. I happened to be near in proximity of that. And we're playing a game with regular playing cards, but they came from a casino. And one lady was so upset about it. What are you doing? We're playing a card game, like you guys are playing a card game. Those are the devil's cards. Why are these the devil? Well, they're from a casino and you're playing, you might as well be gambling. What would you do if Jesus was here right now? That's what she said to me. I said, I would deal him in. I did. I said it. And I would ask him if he had the queen of spades. Playing spades. Because he's going to tell me because he can't lie. Right? Dealing him in. I'm telling you, it was like the Council of Nicaea. All of the pastors had to get together and they had to, you know. We're playing basically the same game they're playing. But we have different kind of cards. And because we have different kind of cards, it wasn't like it was tarot cards. We're playing with different kind of cards, made it a sin. Now, where is that in here? See what I mean? We took a tradition. Okay. That's just a little example. Maybe it's not a good one, but it was an interesting trip. I know at the next rest stop, I was in a different bus. And a friend of mine. You know, he's in the ministry today, too. That was a miracle alone, isn't it? Listen, here's the deal. You have to stay with the word, and you have to stay with the conditions of your covenant. All right? People, Jesus knew who he was. No one, you got to get a, here's his attitude. You got to get this attitude. No one has the right to my joy. And I'm not going to let you steal it from me. You and your little pouty lip, whiny face. So he leaves them after this criticism. He leaves them and he heads north. And I'm thinking, are you going up there to run and hide from criticism? No, I don't think Jesus ever ran and hid from anything. No, sir. He's on a mission, a covenant mission. He leaves them, and let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. After all this big discourse here, he says, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. I love that. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now that's little Jesus again. Called church leaders hypocrites, and now he's calling this lady who just comes for help a dog. Well, he didn't really say she was a dog. Dog got in there. It got it. Is it in your Bible? It's in mine. Somebody got called a dog. All right. Yes, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to them, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." She gets there and it did do that. And I saw something here. He leaves. Could you give me that first map, please? Yeah, can you see this, guys? Here's the Sea of Galilee. They came from Jerusalem, and he's in here when they question him. He leaves there and goes to a whole other country, goes to Lebanon. Now, it's not just another country. It actually is part of the original land that was given to Israel. Matter of fact, the tribe of Asher is part of this area. Can you switch it to that one? I'll show them. Yeah, here's the way this was laid out. Here again is the Sea of Galilee, and the tribe of Asher goes all the way up to that area, okay? So now, why are you saying that? Because we're getting to some fun stuff about now. You ready? Yes. Notice this. What started the whole thing in Mark chapter 7? Your disciples didn't wash their hands when they were eating bread. He goes to Tyre and Sidon, that region, enters a house. The woman is a Greek by birth. She wants the demon cast out, but look at Jesus' response. He said to her, "Let the children be filled first," the children, "for it is not good to take the children's..." Oh, wait, I got a bread connection. Here is the epitome of the covenant and his disciples getting rebuked by members of the covenant. He is the bread of life. And they are rebuking him and his disciples for not washing their hands. Then he goes to a place outside the covenant. Paul writes to us and he says, one time you guys were strangers and aliens to the covenant. Here's a woman that's not born into the covenant. And he said, "It's not right that I give you bread because it's the bread of the covenant." My God. Are you making a connection? I had never put that woman with that incident that caused him to leave there. And so now we got a bread thing going on, don't we? And when she'd come to her house, she found the demon gone out of her and the daughter lying on the bed. And I began to wonder about this. This is one of two people in Scripture that Jesus will marvel at their faith. It's one of two people that he'll be so impressed by their faith. The just by faith will live. They tapped into something just like Abraham did. Abraham was not a Jew when that all began. But by faith, he was justified or accounted. You and I, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been made the righteousness. You've been made justified. My God. Now look at this. Who's the other one? The centurion is the other one. This lady and the centurion in Capernaum. I began to wonder, what do those two people, because he never was impressed with the disciples' faith. People of the covenant. I mean, how is it you have no faith? Oh, you of little faith. How long am I going to be with you guys, right? So what is it with these two people that made him so impressed? Neither one of them were born in the covenant. That's what they have in common. Neither one of them had been trained the traditions that keep them out of the blessing. My God. Neither one of them had been trained, all of those traditions, to cause self-condemnation to come upon themselves. I'm not worthy. I'm just so not worthy. You're right, but he is.
Come on now.
I don't need a mansion. I just need a little shack in the corner of glory. Shut up. But come on. Right? They just believed. And who are they believing in? In Jesus. The man said, listen, you don't need to come to my house. All you got to do is say the word. She said, listen, all I need is just some crumbs of the covenant you have. And both of them, he marveled at their faith. Neither one of them had disqualified themselves by tradition. My Lord. Woo! Do you feel the shout coming? So, Tyre and Sidon is north. It's in Lebanon. It's about 35 to 50 miles. All right? It's part of the tribe of Asher. Okay, so there's got to be more connection to that. I'm thinking, everything he does is fulfillment of something. He doesn't just do something. Why did he go up there? And I began to search, and this is when the download was coming, and I saw this really, really fast. There's a connection, and I got it revealed to me. Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, and his disciples ask him, or he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, and then some said you're Elijah. Matter of fact, Mark chapter 8 is where you'll find that. Same response in Matthew 16, same response in Luke number 9. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me show you something. When he was at Caesarea Philippi, if you've ever been there was a heathen temple, a Greek temple there. And it was built out of the rock, and part of it is still there to this day. Matter of fact, there was a cave there that the Greeks believed. There was a temple to Pan, the god Pan, right in front of it. And there was a cave there. It's caved in now. You can see the opening of it. There was a cave there that they called the gates of hell. So when Jesus said to them, upon this rock, I'll build my church. In other words, not that temple right there. And the gates of hell, he literally pointed at a place. Do you understand that gates are a defensive thing, not an offensive thing?
Come on.
I served in the military. We never loaded our plane up with gates and dropped them on Baghdad. Load up some gates. We're going to drop them. No, gates are defensive, which tells me, upon this rock I'll build my church. The church is on the offense. Hell is on the defense.
That's right, man. Amen. Come on now.
We're building a wall now on the southern border, not to keep us in.
Come on.
Come on. It's a defensive thing. Hell is on the defense because of your covenant, because you're justified. You walk in the room, demons are, whoa.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, I don't feel like that. I didn't ask you what you felt like. I'm telling you what happens. You wake up and angels are like, here we go. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? My God. You there, 1 Kings? This is Elijah. Then verse 8, then the word of the Lord came into him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Oh, wait a minute. I've got Elijah going to Tyre and Sidon. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Jesus will do the same kind of thing. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of
bread.
I've got another bread connection in the same place. In your hand, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God, Lord your God. She's not part of the covenant.
Come on.
Here we go again. This is a woman who's not part of the covenant. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. What a confession that is. Right? And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. We know this story. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord send rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now look at that. So I got a bread connection in the same location that I have this woman asking for a little bit of bread from the same chapter where they criticized him for folks not washing their hands before bread. And who are we talking about? The bread of life. Jesus. Now the story continues. The boy died. And Elijah three times will call upon the Lord in this situation. And the boy lives. Then the woman says that she knows that he's a prophet of God. Reminds me of a son that will be in a grave for 3 days. Well, you know the rest. Right? So now we know, because he came up out of the grave, we know that he is. Matter of fact, there was a soldier there that day that got a revelation of it early. Truly, this is the Son of God. When they start seeing you being prosperous, when they start seeing you walk in your covenant, they will know who he is in you. I like it.
Hallelujah.
I like it. Elijah asked this woman for food in the same region that Jesus will go. And a woman will ask him for a little bit of bread off the table. He'll say, no, it's not for you. It's for somebody else. It's for my people. It's for covenant people. See, here's the thing. You have nothing to exclude you now from the covenant. You are covenant people.
Yes. Hallelujah.
A new covenant established on better promises. There's no bread being withheld from you. My Lord Jesus. My Lord. Hallelujah. His answer was this. Look at this. For it is not good. Elijah asked this woman for food in that same region. Jesus is going to go there, and the woman will ask him for crumbs. And his answer was, it's not good to take children's bread, throw it to dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat under the table and get the children's crumbs. At the beginning of the chapter, his message and he and his disciples are being rebuked concerning bread. He departs. Listen to this now. Listen to this. What did he do? He called them hypocrites. And he said, the prophet Isaiah spoke about you. And he quoted it. He departs and he goes to the Gentiles. Who do not have a covenant. And he refuses her the bread of the covenant. Why? Because she doesn't qualify yet. Not yet, but by faith, she accessed it. Let me help you with something. Anyone, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She accessed the covenant of Abraham. She's not doing the law of Moses here. She's accessing the covenant of Abraham. And as a result, he is bound to do it. To the point that Abraham, listen to this, you got to get a hold of this in faith.
Come on.
You're a friend of God.
Yes. Yes.
Just like Abraham.
Yes. Come on.
God even said, can we do this without telling our friend Abraham? No, we got to tell Abraham what's about to happen. Yet here's Lot, and Lot's called righteous in Scripture, doesn't have a clue. He's 24 hours away from destruction, has no clue what's about to happen. My Lord Jesus. She doesn't yet qualify, but she approaches him knowing that, but speaking the covenant of Abraham by faith. Okay? People were blessed in Abraham. Listen, you got to understand this. People were blessed in Abraham just by association. Lot. Now, here's a really cool thing to this. Go to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Is this connecting dots for anybody else? You guys okay? I literally did run around the office and jump up and down for a little while. This is where, okay, Abraham, the covenant was confirmed to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, right? Matter of fact, his name is a very interesting thing. I don't want to take the time. I really need to chart it out and show it to you. But you can take, and in his name are all the patriarchs, so that his name reminded him of the covenant made with all the patriarchs. Isn't that beautiful? This is where Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, is going to bless his sons and confer the blessing upon them and speak over them what they're about to become. Brace yourself. Where was Tyre and Sidon? In the north of Lebanon. Whose borders does it touch? Who does it belong to? Here we go. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Now listen, in the last days. In the last days. So that means the culmination of the covenant. When the guy who's going to cut the covenant for once and for all will come. And after that, you ready? "Gather together and hear, you old sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. This is the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac, bestowing a blessing and prophetic word on his sons." Do you understand that this still happens every Shabbat? That the father will bless his children in Jewish homes? He'll lay his hands on their head and bless them and speak a blessing over them. Even if it's something as simple as, "I am so proud of the way you handled yourself in that test, and you made a terrific grade, and your mother and I are so proud of you, and you are strong," and you're whatever they do, they bless. You remember the one time that the prophet, the patriarch, crossed his hands and blessed differently, and he said, "No, you can't do that. This is the older one." He crossed his hands again. "Let me help you with something. Generation X, you got a call on your life." Just saying. Let's go on. Listen to this. Verse 20. He's going to get to Asher. In verse 20, it says, "Bread from Asher."
Jesus.
This is why he's up there. "Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties." That's not just bread. That's that good sweets. That's like cinnamon rolls and stuff. That's that. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's that good stuff. You go to Israel today, and man, on the buffet of the place, I mean, the bread at breakfast time, like, "Woo, look at that. One of those, and three of those, and five of those, and give me seven of these." "Did you lose weight in Israel?" "No!" "Bread from Asher shall be rich." Let it just sink in for a minute. Royal dainty. Some verses say delicacies. The root word in Hebrew for that word is where we get the word Eden, like the garden. Eden. I'm telling you, we're going all the way back to there.
Come on now.
And that's what Jesus did in our new covenant. He takes us back to a place. Woo, Lord Jesus, bread from Asher shall be rich. So now we got the bread. We've got the bread that's rich from Eden walking the earth. Because Jesus said, I am.
Come on.
Come on, sir.
I am that I am. That's what it is. I am. Oh, isn't that funny that Asher is in the middle of I am that I am in Hebrew? Be this way. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I am that I am. It literally means in Hebrew, I will be what I will be. If I need to be manna, bread, oh, Lord Jesus. The Father has never lost the recipe for manna. And if it gets so bad he has to rain manna down on your land, he'll do it. I just don't know. I don't know if that. Well, don't know. Jesus is going to say, I am the bread of life. He made covenant with his disciples on the night when he was arrested. And he plainly told them, they're doing Passover and there's three loaves. They stand for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you take Isaac and you break him. It's a symbol, remember? You take Isaac and you break it and you go and you hide part of it. And the children, this is for the children. The children go and find that piece and they bring that piece back. And when that piece comes back, you break it and you give it. It was buried. It was wrapped in linen. Chris, am I right? It's what you do. And he did that night. They bring it to him and he says, this that you've been doing all these years, this is me. It's what you do at Passover. This is me. It's me. Now you understand. And then he'll take the cup and he'll say, this is me. And so now we have a covenant being cut with the disciples prior to him going to the cross. A new covenant. What's interesting is that he will then heal a man in the region of the Decapolis, and he enters again into that, and that's a Gentile region of the Sea of Galilee. In chapter 8, he's going to feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. What I'm trying to get across to you is they criticized him. The religious ones criticized him about the bread thing. And for the next chapter and a half, it's going to all be about bread. It became, instead of a place of criticism, it became the place of breakthrough. For a woman without a covenant, for another man who is mute and deaf without a covenant, it's in the region of the Decapolis. All of these places, it becomes a place of breakthrough. So let me help you with something today. I don't know what some religious person has criticized you about, or whatever your church pastors, you're coming here to this minister's conference. You got Miss Sister Bucket Mouth at your church, and they've been, and Brother Peacock, and they have been, you don't know about Brother Peacock? They all strut around. Sister Bucket Mouth. You know her too, right? And they're criticizing you to the point that you feel like you've lost your anointing. Let me tell you something. It now is going to be the place of your breakthrough, because the Lord is going to turn that thing around. They're criticizing you because they don't know who they are. But you know who you are. You have a covenant. You have a bread covenant. You have a blood covenant. And because of it, the greater one is living on the inside of you. And I'm telling you something. You need to shout, and you need to dance around your office, and you need to praise, and you need to sing, because everything that came against him, he turned it around. And I'm telling you, when they attack you, they're attacking him, and he's going to turn it around. If you'll stay in your faith, if you'll stay in your faith covenant, if you'll stay in your faith assignment, if you'll stay speaking the word in truth, in love, faith works by love. You keep that love, and you see Sister Bucket Mouth, and you just smile all the bigger when you see her. I'm so glad you're here, Sister Bucket Mouth. Brother Peacock, I'm so happy to see you. I'm telling you, that love will jump all over them. And it'll turn it around. I see bread over and over after they criticize. The very thing they criticized him about is the very thing that promoted him. And the Gentiles were ready to receive him. So he demonstrate he is the bread of life. He is this new covenant. And where there is a crumb, my God in heaven, where there's a crumb of faith, it will deliver your daughter. She had never done any of the law. The centurion, neither one of them. They didn't have the tradition to cloud them. They approached him by faith and they received. That's the exact same way you and I receive today. We're going to approach him by faith, not out of fear. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? Woo, glory to God. Okay, we're going to take a break. Pastor George, in just a moment, let me kick it to Quest and Gene right now for those of you watching online. See you soon.